Good afternoon and welcome to the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, October 14th, 2006. We are now 27 days from the midterm elections in November, and the opportunity to organize for a Democratic Party landslide to administer a crippling defeat to the neocons and their new dark age policies. Those of you, our listeners, who have been paying attention realize that the present leadership of the Democratic Party is not mobilizing for such a victory. We saw their backtracking just 2 weeks ago on the torture bill, the prisoners detainee bill, their fear of taking on the Bush-Cheney apparatus. And their strategy is to say, don't get in the way of a train wreck, just let it happen. Well, this is a blueprint for disaster. This was the same plan that the Social Democratic Party in Germany had, whose slogan in 1932-33 was, first Hitler, then us, with the idea that people would see how bad Hitler is and then get rid of him. Well, look at the results of that strategy. So we can't afford to make the same mistake again. The same families which funded Hitler and the European fascist movements in the 1920s and 30s are today behind the Bush-Cheney war party. And this time, under the slogan of globalization, they're organizing for a global victory for a fascist order. Under these circumstances, especially with the collapse of the physical economy, the shutdown of the auto sector, the blowing out of the housing market, the collapse of hedge funds with the threat to the banking system, the horrible news from Iraq, the collapse of the efforts in Afghanistan, one would ordinarily expect that young people would be reacting against this, taking to the streets, mobilizing, joining a movement for change. But today we're finding that many young people, especially on campuses, seem passive, almost zombified in the face of this evil. Why? Why is this happening? Youth always challenge authority, especially when the authority is arbitrary, using lies and intimidation to enforce conformity. Well, the LaRouche Pack has just begun distributing a new pamphlet for mass distribution, which identifies who the brain snatchers are. We've put together a who's who in this operation, and this is an operation which would make even Hitler's propagandist, Joseph Goebbels, blush. And at the top of this network, we found Big Sister herself, Lynn Cheney, the vice president's wife. We'll be speaking today on the LaRouche Show with Tony Chaitkin, who's one of the investigators who has identified this network and written some of the articles in the pamphlet. We'll also be joined by two organizers for the LaRouche Youth Movement, Ardina Clark in Los Angeles and Keisha Rogers in Houston. The two of them have taken this material onto the campuses and are right at the center of this campaign to free students and professors from this mind control Gestapo. By the end of this program, you will know what we have to do to free the campuses and to free U.S. intellectual life from this mind control Gestapo under the watch of Big Sister Lynn Cheney. And you'll know what to do to mobilize to turn out the votes of young people to produce the margin we need to defeat the Bush-Cheney regime. So with that as an introduction, Tony, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Harley. Hello.
I had the opportunity to read your newest article this morning, Chicago's Bloody Hand Behind Cheney's Campus Gestapo, which adds to what we've already published, but I think it really gets to the core of the issue. You take off from this meeting that took place last week at Harvard of Lynn Cheney's ACTA, the American Council of Trustees and Alumni. What did you find, and what additional background does this give us for going after this network?
Well, Harley, the strategists that met at Harvard are a gang, virtually every aspect of which was bred at a fascist command center half century or more before in the University of Chicago around Leo Strauss, the fascist philosopher, emigre from Germany, the father of neoconservatism, and Robert M. Hutchins, the president of the University of Chicago, in the 1930s and 40s. And from that center, we have the roots of every continuation after World War II of fascism after the death of Franklin Roosevelt into American politics, not only neoconservatives, but the policy of the most radical free trade, free market politics, and the Nazi police state measures that were later implemented in Chile by this Chicago gang, and later bred under George Shultz and others, the Bush-Cheney regime that we have right now. So this is a direct continuation from that University of Chicago horror story. And we have a group of nominally separate organizations, as we said in the recent EIR and an earlier program, that are actually one apparatus, including David Horowitz and his Horowitz Center in Los Angeles, John Train and his operation as a kind of a mother for Horowitz and other groups on Wall Street, and the Bush-Cheney regime with Lynn Cheney personally, all of them coming out of this nightmare at the University of Chicago, an assassin's council that continues from the 30s and 40s right up to the present moment. And this is the group, this is the apparatus that is moving onto American campuses with a set of right-wing newspapers and with a group of initiatives such as a hit list published through Horowitz of professors they want to demolish, they want to purge, and slanders and intimidation tactics against the LaRouche movement and any dissidents that would stand up against this regime. We patriots have to look at this and say, no, we're not going to allow this. This whole apparatus has to be demolished.
All right. In the next few minutes, Tony, we will dissect this network, and then we're going to hear from Ardina and Keisha, who are taking on the Horowitz Network directly in the campus organizing that they're doing. You're listening to The LaRouche Show. This is the show for October 14th, 2006, and our guest is Tony Chaitkin. Tony, let me just start with a question about the University of Chicago, because one of the unique aspects of Lyndon LaRouche's historical analysis is to show that what many people think as the left and the right as totally distinct operations actually have a common mother. And this is, you see people like the neocons, many of them came out of the Trotskyite movement, the Communist Party. David Horowitz himself was once a leftist. But I think one of the pivotal figures in this is Robert Hutchins, who generally is considered to be somewhat of a left liberal. What can you tell us about Hutchins?
The thing to understand there is, first of all, the University of Chicago itself represents a typical attempt of the British enemy, the imperial enemy of the United States, to counter a center of American progress. Chicago itself as a city was set up by Abraham Lincoln and his friends in the 1830s and built up as a steel center, a railroad center, center of high wages and unions. And the University of Chicago was created by the Rockefeller family in the 1890s to counter this American tradition. Hutchins was brought in the 1920s, a very young man in his 20s at the time, by this imperial Wall Street London apparatus to counter the American intellectual tradition. He was the closest American friend and agent and asset of Bertrand Russell and the British highest oligarchy, and he did things on what is considered the left and the right, at the same time and at various times.
Your new article, it really does read like a hardcore right-wing operation. So where does he get this reputation?
Well, later at the University of California at Santa Barbara, after he had left the University of Chicago and created, through the Ford Foundation, created his Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions, he was a seminal figure in the 1960s drug, sex, rock and roll revolution. He was the fountainhead for the triple revolution that was issued that launched a whole lot of this counterculture.
And it was an assault on that industrial tradition.
Yes, exactly. But if you go back to the 1930s, at the University of Chicago, there was an attack launched by the British oligarchy and British intelligence, which is very little understood to this day, an assault against Franklin Roosevelt's attempt to mobilize America both industrially and to stand up to Hitler's threat. This is in the late 1930s. Roosevelt was trying to mobilize America and to get the war industries going as the basis for an industrial recovery from the Depression. What the enemy did through Hutchins and his friends was to say, we need Hitler, because the nation state is a reactionary and an old institution. It's outdated. It's from the Renaissance. It's from the American Revolution. This is outdated. We're in a new age now. Hitler will help us destroy this, or communism will help us destroy this. Perhaps if we have Hitler fighting Russia, both of them can be destroyed. This was the underlying idea in Britain and among leftists and rightists at that time, at the highest levels of British strategy. So at the University of Chicago, under the daily management of Robert Hutchins himself and his closest friends, you had the America First Committee created and run. It was on that campus, and he was the top dog. He was a liberal at this time, and his idea was, yes, I'll work with outright Hitlerites like Henry Regnery and his father. Yes, I'll work with Lindbergh, people that are bowing to Adolf Hitler. Yes, I'll work with communists, and I'll work with people who say they're anti-British, and I'm bowing to the British necessity to wreck Mr. Roosevelt. And that was his idea. That continued all the way through the war. Left wing, right wing, that was the underlying reality.
And Tony, Leo Strauss was a part of this at the University of Chicago.
Leo Strauss was a Jewish rightist who left Germany just as Hitler was about to take over, on a Rockefeller fellowship, came to Britain and then to the University of Chicago. That Rockefeller Fellowship was sponsored by Carl Schmitt, whose legal writings were used to justify Hitler's emergency decrees. And Mr. Strauss came to the University of Chicago in 1937, and at his salon, at his class, under the personal sponsorship of President Hutchins, Leo Strauss set up a group of admirers who became the future neoconservatives. He had a committee there. Strauss had a committee called the Committee on Social Thought, and this was based on the idea of the highest oligarchy from England and continental Europe that Strauss expressed in his classes, and that is continued in the persons of Dick Cheney, Lynn Cheney, and others that are assets of these roots. And this idea was that going all the way back to Plato, they professed to be experts on Plato's philosophy. Strauss said that from Plato on to the present, the world has been ruled by an elite of oligarchs, of powerful rich men, who must lie and have lied to the ignorant masses. And that elite are atheists, and they have to profess a false morality, which they sell to the ignorant masses in order to rule them by deception. And that he lies about Plato, he lies about the American Revolution. Strauss's lies are repeated in the books put out by Lynn Cheney herself. She's written these absolutely dreadful so-called history books about the United States. All of this was devoted to overthrowing the tradition of the American Revolution in American education.
And Tony, when we come back, I'm going to ask you to connect this to the neocons, including those who met at Harvard University last week. But let me just ask our listeners, if you have a question for Tony, you can send us an email. We can receive your emails at radio@laroochepub.com. That's radio@laroochepub.com. And also you can call in after the show and order copies of this new LaRouche Pact pamphlet, which goes through this mind control mafia under the direction of Lynn Cheney and Wall Street's John Train. That number is 800-929-7566, and we'll give that out again later to you. We're talking with historian Tony Chaitkin, and we'll bring on our limb organizers in a moment. Now, Tony, this question, or the connection, I should say, of Strauss to the neocons, to Lynn Cheney and the group that met at Harvard. Why don't you delineate that for a moment?
Among the group of neocons that comes out of the Strauss salons is Irving Kristol. And he was brought into the administration of Gerald Ford as a guru to a staff member of the Ford administration who was Dick Cheney. Irving Kristol served as the personal mastermind of the political head of Dick Cheney and of Lynn Cheney, his wife at that time. And in the creation of this present apparatus we see trying to set up a Gestapo on the campus, all aspects of it have been funded and directed by funding mechanisms such as the Bradley Foundation and the Olin Foundation, which are institutions totally loyal to Leo Strauss and to the continuing neocon apparatus, which was set up by fascists at the University of Chicago. We have demonstrated this in tremendous depth. Every aspect of this apparatus, Horowitz's organization, David Horowitz Freedom Center, so-called, was entirely funded by Michael Joyce and the Bradley Foundation.
Tony, on that, your article actually nails it down by the names of the foundations, where they gave the money, who were the recipients. This is an article that will be in the next issue of the EIR, and it's must reading because it actually does make this connection indisputably between the neocons. And I also found fascinating the role that Kristol played. I was unaware that he had been involved with Cheney, but also I think you said Rumsfeld.
And Donald Rumsfeld. Cheney was Rumsfeld's assistant. Rumsfeld was chief of staff to Gerald Ford White House back then. And this duet of Cheney and Rumsfeld, of course, continues today. Another central figure who appeared at the University of Chicago while Leo Strauss was still there pumping fascist poison into America's bloodstream was George P. Schultz, who was the head of the business school at the University of Chicago from 1962 to 68. Schultz, with Milton Friedman, who was had been there from the Hutchins days, Schultz went on directly from the University of Chicago to be Secretary of the Treasury in the early 1970s, and to direct, along with Henry Kissinger and with an old Nazi apparatus of Dulles and Angleton crowd, to direct the overthrow of the Allende government in Chile and the institution of a fascist regime inside Chile, headed up by Pinochet. All of the participants in this campus Gestapo attempt of Lynn Cheney and Horowitz, every aspect of it, especially William F. Buckley, the old rightist that came out of this University of Chicago machine, all of them were leaders of this horrifying bloodbath in Chile that is used as the model for the present Bush-Cheney regime. George Schultz himself, beginning in 1999, created what became the Bush-Cheney regime. His proteges, such as Condi Rice and others, and his choosing of Dick Cheney as the leader for selecting the participants in this in what was to become the regime that was installed in 2000. If you look at David Horowitz's organization, entirely funded by the Straussian machine, in 1999, the first California speech delivered by then Texas Governor George W. Bush was made as a candidate. His first candidate speech in California was delivered at David Horowitz's center in Los Angeles under the strategy of George Schultz. And this gives you, with Schultz and with this funding machine and with the set of neocons and Straussians, it gives you every aspect of the present regime and of their attempt to set up a Gestapo on the campus.
Now, we had hoped to get someone from our Boston office who had attended the ACTA meeting at Harvard, but they're right now meeting in a cadre school and planning out the mobilization for the last few weeks of the election. But I do want to bring on Ardina Clark right now, because Ardina spent some time this last week, including yesterday, on one of the campuses that Horowitz has targeted, the University of California at Los Angeles, where there's also been a protege of Horowitz who's writing a series of slander attacks on the presence of the LaRouche Youth Movement at that campus. Ardina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Harley.
Why don't you give us a little report on the organizing there yesterday?
Okay, well, as Harley mentioned, there was an article that came out in the UCLA paper, the Bruin Standard, that was written by Garen Hovhannissian. And this has been really widely circulated on campus. And we were there yesterday because Clinton was giving a speech. And so we met up with a lot of the kids that were there, because while we were there, we had a huge rally and really polarized the campus that day. There were a ton of us, and obviously there were thousands of people there to see Clinton, but a lot of them also had come across this article. So people naturally came up and started asking us what was, you know, going on with our organization, you know. And it's really interesting because we have all of the literature accessible to us, right? So we asked the question, well, you know, are you even thinking for yourself right now? You know, are you able to ask us an honest question about what our dealings are as a political organization? And then we start briefing them on ACTA and on the fact that Lynn Cheney has been working to create a police state, a thought police state, on campuses. And it's just a really wonderful thing to be able to have the literature accessible to people and direct them to exactly what the problem is and why they've had an inability to be able to ask certain questions on campuses, you know, what's happening with certain purges and exposing of liberal, quote-unquote, liberal professors on the UCLA campus. And a lot of kids are very upset because obviously they kind of notice that type of atmosphere on campus, and they notice there's kind of certain things that you can say and certain things that you can't say, and, you know, everybody's playing along with the game, trying to, you know, amass a certain amount of money and acquire what the standard of success is. But it's really, we've got a lot of kids that are coming actually today to our meeting from UCLA to ask and inquire more about what the apparatus is that we're exposing.
So, Ardina, you are encountering students who are able to recognize that there is a purge going on, there's an attack on professors. They actually see that, but they don't know where it's coming from.
Exactly.
And I know we're going to be, we've actually talked to some of the professors out in Los Angeles. I know at one school, another school, Cerritos College, we have an invitation to speak to a faculty group. Did some of the students take extra copies of the pamphlet to get around to their friends?
Actually, yesterday, a lot of the students reported that they had the pamphlet. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, it's in my dorm room. I didn't get a chance to read all of it, but I've actually got that. Because, actually, the Bruin did us a favor by publishing that slander article against us. Because all that's happened is that all the kids that we ran into yesterday were, well, a lot of them, they were saying, oh, I've got the literature. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but, yeah, I've got it in my campus. And, actually, people did take extras. Just they're like, oh, well, maybe I don't have it. Maybe I lost it. You know, let me grab this up. You know, it's just drawing even more attention to the political flank that's becoming so successful now, as you guys have been reporting and will probably report it through the course of this discussion.
Well, I want to make a slight correction. The Bruin Standard is actually not an official campus paper. It's the paper of these neocons, and it's been reported that students use it to line their bird cages and toilet train their dogs, but even the dogs reject it.
Right.
Now, Tony, we have about a minute and a half before the break. There's already been blood drawn. There have been a couple of attacks on you and Lyndon LaRouche from this network as a result of the pre-publication, right?
And Ace DeRussi, who was a Lynn Cheney insider, for Big Sister Lynn Cheney. As soon as my article for the October 13th EIR, Who's Who in the Goebbels Zoo, as soon as that article appeared on our website, LaRouche Pub for EIR, before the magazine was even printed, she was hysterical in putting on the Buckley New Republic, I'm sorry, National Review website, an attack saying that she was proud to appear on Lyndon LaRouche's list, at the top of the list, in this wild conspiracy theory that we were publishing about her and her friends. She followed that up the next day with another attack, saying that the kids in the LaRouche youth movement were to be pitied, but not the their leader, Lyndon LaRouche.
Tony, we'll have to come back to that. We're going to take a quick station break.
Yeah.
You're listening to The LaRouche Show, which is live on the web every Saturday. It's at LaRouchePub.com. And you can pick up not only the show live, but there's an archive there where you can hear past shows, including the one that we did 2 weeks ago with Tony, when we first identified this flank of hitting Lynn Cheney and the campus brainwashers. Now, as there is an election coming up, this is a crucial bit of material to get out. The pamphlet is available. We've printed an initial run of 250,000. We need to print 250,000 more before the election to ship them out and get them around. And you can call and order them at 800-929-7566. But I would encourage you not just to call and order them, but to call and make a pledge, a donation to LaRouche PAC, so that we can print more. And if you have a campus that you want to hit where there's a hot election, because we've got to defeat these neocon Republicans in the House and the Senate, if you have a campus nearby, you have some young people you're working with, give us a call. We'll send them to you, and you can make a contribution to cover the cost. So call us at 800-929-7566. So we're back on the show. We have a half hour to go. I'd like to bring on Keisha Rogers. Some of you may know Keisha from her campaign this last spring and summer to run for Texas Democratic Party chairman. She shook up the state. She's still shaking it up. Keisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Harley. Good to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what what we're doing in Houston and Texas generally to hit this Liz Cheney apparatus?
This picture, this very disturbing picture that we're finding that intelligence with the LaRouche movement, Tony Shaken and others have, Jeff Steinberg and others have put out, is as we're taking it to the campus, it's just really turning some heads. We actually went on to the one of the campuses here in Houston on 2 days ago. And what we were finding is that as we put the signs up to organize the students, we had two very interesting signs that really caused people to, some heads to turn. One of them read, "Is Big Sister watching you? Stop Liz Cheney's campus watch." And the other one was, "Does Liz Cheney think your professor's a terrorist?" And you know, most people would think that schools such as where Ardena is located around UCLA, Berkeley, all of these campuses, which are traditionally known to be major politically active campuses, you know, you got California that's supposed to be a Democratic state, would actually be more prone to this type of activity, which we're finding with the Bruin Standard, the Hovhannissian whole campus watch drive. But this is national, and when people see that, you know, you have this also, this Gestapo campus watch, you know, Nazi apparatus taking place even in Texas, which is supposed to be a so-called Republican state, red state, nobody's worried about Texas because everyone goes red, then, you know, they have to start thinking, because we're also finding these attacks, as Tony's brought out, on professors at the University of Texas and so forth. And our plan of action is to go with LaRouche's marching orders here, which we've already started to do. We're planning out a strategy on how we're going to take this fight to the University of Texas and across Texas as a campaign drive to crush this Nazi apparatus coming from Big Sister Cheney herself and her whole media Joseph Goebbels operation and propaganda to manipulate and scare the hell out of the youth and the population not to be active as citizens in fighting against not just a drive for a political fight or, you know, something that people think about as, okay, this is an upcoming election, this is just dirty politics. We're talking about people who want to destroy the nation state, want to see the entire U.S. As a republic destroyed. And we're bringing that picture to students that, you know, it wasn't just that after the 2004 election, students got demoralized and, you know, they just became apathetic and stopped thinking or stopped becoming or being active. But we're giving to people the reality of the desperate situation of both sides, of both liberals and neoconservatives, to destroy this way of thinking, which is that we have to actually go back to this type of fight, which saves and protects the Constitution and the Republic of this nation.
And just quickly, Keisha, I know that Lyndon LaRouche is very insistent that we make sure that Tom DeLay's seat end up in the hands of the Democrats.
Yes.
Apparently, there's a fairly nasty operation as a write-in campaign by the Republicans, and you have a particular name for this person.
Oh, Oh, yes. The write-in candidate, her name is Shelley Sekula Gibbs, and I've given her the title Shelley Dracula Gibbs, because this lady is a pawn and a Barbie doll and puppet of the Tom DeLay, Dick Cheney gang, thugs. And, you know, the fact that she's running against a candidate who is well known by the name of Nick Lamson as a write-in candidate, and she was basically put up to the task by Tom DeLay and also, you know, Dick Cheney and others, because these guys want to make sure that they keep the control over, you know, Texas politics and the nation, as their desperate drive is becoming more and more apparent right now. So we're gonna shake the state up, really giving people a sense that, you know, we are fighting for a land, like you said, Harley, a landslide throughout the nation of Democrats taking back the House and the Senate. And so we're gonna shake some things up to make sure that people don't go vote for and write in the name of Shelley Sekula Gibbs or Shelley Dracula Gibbs.
All right. Now, Ardina, I know you're giving a presentation tonight on the this question of the train apparatus. And I know you've done a lot of work on it. You did a presentation the other night at the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Club meeting, which, by the way, was quite an exciting meeting to attend. Did you have any questions or things you'd like to ask Tony for clarification or for just getting deeper into the material?
Yeah, sure. I one of the most difficult things is to explain to people what the coincidence is between what's perceivably the left and perceivably the right, as the two of these forces come together to oppose what is the tradition that we represent, the LaRouche Political Action Committee and the LaRouche Youth Movement. And I think that I was just wondering, how are you organizing the literature that's being put out from the standpoint of the overall global perspective of where humanity's been and where humanity has to go? Because, in fact, you know, this is the greatest experiment that we've ever carried out as a species of human being, the experiment to establish a nation state where all human beings are created equally. And the way we do it with the LaRouche Youth Movement is by, one, starting with the fundamentals, introducing people to what it means to be a human being, which means acquainting them with an idea and attempting to communicate that, in fact, people like LaRouche, people like Socrates, you know, just as to reference the attack that's come on them from the Straussian networks, are actually normal. Those are the normal people, right? We've just kind of been, in our kindergarten, as far as, you know, we've developed so far as a human species, but getting across this idea. So I was wondering how, in a broader political perspective, are we able to, you know, have you been organizing around this question of really bringing people into the higher fight of what we're trying to achieve as a species of human beings on this planet in general?
Well, if you look at Lynn Cheney's books and the tradition of propaganda coming out of Leo Strauss and his friends and Bertrand Russell and others in that circle, their chief objective is to erase from the record the Republican tradition, the tradition of thought from Plato and people like him later, the Renaissance and the American Revolution, to erase from the mind of Americans the memory of the accomplishment of this tradition in building up our civilization. We have had, in the last 250 years, a high wage culture, a culture from the experience of the poorest people in the United States and in some other parts of the world, an uplifting of that population into industry, into technology, into
housing and medicine and the use of electricity, the possibilities of control over nature. All of these accomplishments depend on a tradition of leadership coming from a Republican strategy milieu that Lyndon LaRouche continues, and that Franklin Roosevelt last exemplified in American history, a tradition of leading the United States and other nations and nation states that were created and developed strictly on the American model. This is to be erased from the memory of mankind by this group of oligarchs of the Chicago School of the Adorno and Horkheim crowd, and if you look at Lynn Cheney's book, for example, get this on the level of just common history. She wrote a book about the speakers of the House in the U.S. Congress, purporting to be a historian. And she mentions two great speakers of the House. One of them, James K. Polk, later the president, and Henry Clay. These were opposite in their point of view. Polk perpetrated the imperial war against Mexico as president, and he was a slave owner who loved to whip his slaves. His opponent, Henry Clay, was the leader of the group from the American Revolution that taught Abraham Lincoln his point of view and sponsored the development of industries and opposed the British Empire. They were the opposite poles in our history. And Lynn Cheney says in her book that both of them were predecessors to her husband and his faction, Dick Cheney, because both of them sponsored wars. That's what she says was the legacy of Henry Clay. Well, yeah, he also, in a sense, sponsored a war because he rallied America to fight a defensive war against the aggressive British Empire that invaded Washington and burned the city to the ground. That was the War of 1812. The resistance to imperialism and the defense of all world civilization by the nation state, as exemplified by Henry Clay and Lincoln and later FDR and now Lyndon LaRouche, this is a tradition which the leftists and the rightists associated with this British oligarchy would attempt to destroy. Let me make sure that people understand what we're addressing here. There is a central command run by the Bush-Cheney regime that is going on to American campuses to try to terrify and intimidate and purge the faculty and slander and try to counteract or destroy the LaRouche movement. The lead agency that is doing this and that we're out to demolish, the lead agency is called the American Council of Trustees and Alumni, ACTA, whose chairman emeritus and founder is Lynn Cheney, the vice president's wife. We have found out everything about this, that we're going deeper and deeper into this to take this damn thing apart, because they want to destroy this country, and we won't let them. American patriots won't let them do it.
And I think it's worth noting that they say there's no debate. If you oppose the policies of Bush and Cheney, you are pro-terrorist. And that's part of the thuggery that's involved in intimidating professors. So as Tony just pointed out, we're not saying Lynn Cheney is guilty by implication or anything of the sort. She is a founding member of this. Now, Tony, we have a question here from email, and if you have other questions for us, you can send them in at radio@larouchepub.com. If we don't get to your questions on the air, I'm sure we can get them to Tony, and he'd be happy to respond. But we have one here. I'm going to try and get it up on the screen. Okay, it's from Thomas Walton, and he asked the question. He's a New Hampshire listener. Dear Tony, does University of Chicago historian Louis Gottschalk, author of Marat, which was his thesis under Carl Becker, have any links to Leo Strauss or Hutchins? Do you know?
I think I vaguely remember that name, but I would definitely have to look it up and check it out. I can't say off the top of my head.
All right. Well, Tony is a historian, Thomas, so I'm sure he'll get on it and get back to you on this. So I'll make sure he gets your email. Now, I want to just continue on this question then of what to do on the campuses. And for those who don't know Tony Chaitkin, he was a campus activist back in the mid-60s when Lyndon LaRouche first went onto the campuses. We faced a similar operation then. In fact, it was directly the Ford Foundation
yes.
under Hutchins. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I have to correct the record. I was an outside agitator on the campus. I wasn't a student there.
Okay.
I went in with Lyndon LaRouche.
One of the original outside agitators.
That's right. We went, the LaRouche movement at that time in the late 60s, went onto the Columbia University campus. And we found there the student movement, the Students for Democratic Society, opposing the war and looking to oppose the increasingly evil situation which the bankers were imposing on the United States after the death of John Kennedy.
And Tony, I might add, students were much more aggressive and active at that time.
Yes, yeah, they were quite feisty, and I remember as a young Democrat earlier in California in the late 50s. Democratic Party was a tremendously active and controversial organization with thousands and thousands of attendees at conferences and so forth, debating every important issue facing mankind. But we found that the so-called left terrorist wing of the Students for a Democratic Society, headed up by a poor schlump named Mark Rudd, later became the Weathermen.
A terrorist organization.
Was directly funded by a $225,000 grant from the Ford Foundation that had been conduited through Herbert Marcuse, a leftist writer at the time. The Ford Foundation itself had as its leading program officer Robert M. Hutchins, and this was after he had left the University of Chicago. He himself took Ford money to go off to California and set up. He conduited the money of the Ford Foundation that he himself was a leader of to set up his own operation. The Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions out in California to promote this filth as a new left or 60s radical fiesta, including this terrorism that we confronted on the campus there. So
Ardina, take note of this. It's at University at Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been on that campus. This is another place we've got to get with that pamphlet.
Yeah, David Horowitz himself was backed by Robert M. Hutchins and his center about 1969 to stage a coup to take over Ramparts magazine and then hook up with the Eastern establishment, the Rockefeller family, and finance him to become a rightist. He himself Horowitz was earlier a radical leftist who had worked personally for Bertrand Russell in England, then came back to America and was financed by Robert M. Hutchins, who was Russell's closest friend and agent in the United States.
Tony, let me just say we have just a little more than 10 minutes to go, and we're starting to get some questions on the email, and I want to give Ardina and Keisha another opportunity. I would again remind you, this is the LaRouche Show. We're talking about the neocon Gestapo apparatus on campuses. There's a pamphlet LaRouche Pack has produced. You can get it. Call us at 800-929-7566. We do have a question from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, on ACTA. It's from Melvin Vandentop. He says, is there an expedited method you would suggest for identifying whether or not ACTA is active on a given local campus? I believe we have a list, don't we now, of where there are newspapers?
We do have a list, but what I would suggest is that people take the pamphlet, the LaRouche Pack pamphlets, and distribute them on the campus.
You'll
and
find
talk
out if
to,
they're there.
And talk to the campus representative of the American Association of University Professors. ACTA has set up an AAUP watch, and they're directly targeting all teachers in American schools that are considered dissidents against the Bush-Cheney regime. So this is a direct war. What LaRouche has taken on in this fight is to go head-to-head with the war-crazed leaders in Washington, with this faction that has usurped power in Washington. And they are on the campuses directly, and they're making war against both LaRouche with their slanders, which they run all the slanders against LaRouche, and against any liberal or so-called dissident anti-Bush professor. Many of these professors themselves have had in their ears for a long time anti-LaRouche propaganda, which they perhaps assumed came from some progressive source, and it comes from this fascist Cheney University of Chicago British oligarchy source. We've nailed this down in spades. We have them by the balls, and we are squeezing.
Actually, and the important thing there is that the connection between the original Get LaRouche Task Force, John Train, which we highlight in this pamphlet, is behind the operation with Lynn Cheney. So, Melvin and anyone else who wants to find out where there are ACTA campus activists, go onto the campus. It's sort of like taking a cross to a vampire.
Yes.
You'll see their teeth, their fangs, very quickly. And the pamphlet is the best way to get them to freak out.
And we'll have a new chapter of this whole saga coming out in the next EIR, because we're going deeper into the background of this foul machine.
So call us again, 800-929-7566. Keisha, you're also doing a class on this tonight for the LaRouche Youth Movement chapter in Houston. Did you have any questions for Tony?
I do. I kind of want to ask a follow-up question to that last listener's question on the ACTA, because what we just stated was you have this neocon Gestapo, but what's interesting to me is that we've kind of found a match made in hell coming out with the founder of the ACTA, Lynn Cheney. And also, if I'm not mistaken, we've identified an intelligence co-founder to be Joseph Lieberman, showing that this thing is not just coming from the Republican so-called right-wing neoconservatives, but you have some left-wing aspect to it also. And I just wanted Tony to kind of give a sense of how this match even came to be, how Joseph Lieberman got involved as one of the co-founders of ACTA.
Well, look, there is no enemy of Lyndon LaRouche that carries on an attack against him that doesn't come out of this fascist machine, period. How did Joe Lieberman get into the United States Senate? He ran for Senate against Lowell Weicker, a moderate Republican, who was and Lieberman had the backing of William F. Buckley in Connecticut. As we are demonstrating in the pamphlet that you have in your hands and in all of the EIR exposés. William F. Buckley is a phase that continues in the Hitler to University of Chicago to present day conservative operation. Buckley is a Hitlerite. His father was a leader of the Hitlerites in Mexico as an international oil man. And Buckley worked for the Hitler faction in the intelligence community, the Angleton, Dulles, Ratline faction. William F. Buckley promoted Joe Lieberman to get into the United States Senate and used for that purpose the poor schlumps in the anti-Castro Cuban community down in Miami that were pawns in the hands of this Bush Buckley Ratline intelligence operation from the days of the 60s onwards. This machine is all there is behind the Democratic Leadership Council and Joe Lieberman personally. Felix Rohatyn, the head sponsor within the Democratic Party of the Democratic Leadership Council and the sponsor of Joe Lieberman, Felix Rohatyn himself participated with as a financier in the ITT saga, as a financier in the creation of the Chilean dictatorship, of the fascist dictatorship of Pinochet. He and George Shultz and the rest of this gang, John Train and company, from the so-called liberal side and from the right-wing side, ran this Chilean dictatorship and are currently working together to try to keep the Democratic Party and the Republican Party under their control. These people have usurped power at the present time using these pathetic creatures like Joe Lieberman as their stooges. There's nothing in this apparatus that doesn't come out of a mid-20th century fascist background. That's Joe Lieberman.
And I think this question from Keisha is extremely important, because what Lyndon LaRouche has identified as the strategy for the limb in the last 3 weeks and 3 days before the election is that we're going to activate a youth vote. As Keisha mentioned, there was a youth mobilization around the Kerry campaign, but it was weak, and it was a mobilization for a vote, not for a movement. We're going to be on the campuses the next couple of weeks recruiting people to a movement to fight to clean out this Gestapo apparatus on the campus, but also to bring young people into the Democratic Party, into the political process, and as a force for a renaissance. So if you're interested, if you have young people around you that are interested in this, the best thing to do is to get this pamphlet, mobilize over the next couple of weeks. Now, let me just finish. We have a little less than 2 minutes with an email from James Calvert. Are the elite planning a war with Iran? I want to just address this briefly, but it's important. There's a rumor going around that, no, we're more focused on North Korea, or there's not going to be a war. Bush is pulling back from that. What Lyndon LaRouche said is that this is a war party that already has us in a war. Their governing policy is war and chaos because of the collapse of the financial system. The war with Iran is still on as an option, including the use of shock and awe, air bombings, and nuclear strike. And this, again, will be in the next EIR in an expose from Jeff Steinberg. But no one should be duped to think that this faction is going to go away quietly. They're doing everything they can to intimidate people, to keep them from voting, to keep them from discussing issues. And that's what we've been discussing on this program today. So, again, prepare yourself for this fight. There's not much time. Jump into it. Get the pamphlet from calling us at 800-929-7566. Tony, I wish we had more time, and Ardina and Keisha, your contributions were sharp today. Ardina, any last words? We got 10 seconds.
Thanks for having me.
it's an hour show. Get the pamphlet. Tony, Keisha, Ardina, thank you very much for joining us today.
Have fun.
Thank you.
This has been the LaRouche Show. We'll be on again next Saturday with another edition of the LaRouche Show.